All rise. Oye, oye, oye. The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. All who have business before this court, draw near and you will be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. Be seated.
Good morning. I'm Judge Bartley, and I'm joined today by Judge Allen and Judge Falvey, and we're here for the matter of Felix Paul Phillips versus Dennis McDonough, docket number 22-2575. Counsel for the parties, please state your name and your appearance for the record, beginning with appellant's counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. Amy Odom for the appellant, and with me at counsel table is Virginia Gerard Brady.
Thank you, Ms. Odom and Ms. Gerard Brady. Thank you, Mr. Morris and Ms. Whitted. And as you know, you will have 30 minutes to present argument. And Ms. Odom, I understand you want to reserve 10 minutes?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, that's fine. And you may proceed when you're ready.
Thank you, Chief Judge Bartley, and may it please the court. The court got it right the first time. The board erred when it concluded that April 2020 was the earliest possible effective date for the award of TDIU. Under Rice, it's 2002. And it doesn't matter that TDIU was adjudicated in AMA. AMA did not eliminate the agency's duty to develop a claim to its optimum. It is this long-standing principle that cases like Rice, Mayhew, Locklear, Harper were all based on, not VA's pre-AMA regulatory definition of a claim. In each of those cases, the board did what it did here. It wrongly construed a VA Form 8940 as a new claim for TDIU and tied the effective date of TDIU to that form. In each of those cases, held the board erred, and the court correctly did so here too. The agency's duty to develop a claim to its optimum is rooted in the pro-claimant paternalistic nature of VA's adjudication system. Congress created that system, and only Congress could eliminate or narrow the scope of the duty created by that system. But Congress didn't do that when they passed the AMA. It said nothing about the duty to construe a claim to its optimum or maximize the claimant's benefits. In fact, the legislative history reveals that the purpose of it was to create more efficiency and expediency in the adjudication of claims and to protect the claimant's rights.
Pardon. So, could I jump in the midst of the cough? So let's just assume that I agree with you about Rice not being abrogated under the AMA, just for purposes of this question. So what do we do with a situation in which, let's leave aside the PTSD-related argument, okay? Just the skin, yes. The rating for the skin condition.
Yes.
So that included, under Rice, potentially TDIU, right? Okay. And then appellant filed an application for TDIU, which under Rice he didn't have to do, but he did.
Right.
And through the vagaries of the administrative system, that application got before the board while the skin condition claim was simultaneously before the RO. Mm-hmm. Right? Do I have that right?
That's right.
Okay. If let's assume we never had the AMA, okay? No question. So the question before the court wouldn't have been about the changing of Rice. Under the legacy system, how would the board, in your experience, address a situation like that if it came up? That is, the claim to which the TDIU is part and parcel is before the agency of original jurisdiction, but somehow an application for TDIU, even though it didn't need to be made under Rice, comes before the board. Well, do you follow what I'm saying?
I do, and I can answer that question. It would approach it the same way that it does now, even under AMA. I did a survey of BVA decisions in prepping for this argument and found in the exact same circumstances we have here, the board generally will say, I see that this has come up to us from an 8940 that was filed in AMA, and we have a pending IR claim in legacy, but given the language they use is given the board's duty to review the historical record, we see that there was a Rice TDIU pending when TDIU was adjudicated, and therefore the effective date is tied to the IR.
And so it would remand?
No, it would award the correct effective date.
You said generally they do that. Is there anything that requires them to do that?
Yes, it's the effective date statute. What we have before us now is a question about what's the date of the claim.
Doesn't the effective date statute say that when you have an increased rating claim, which is effectively what the TDIU application was in 2021, that they can award an effective date up to 1 year before that?
Well, Your Honor, I respectfully disagree that the TDIU application was a new claim for an increased rating. All it was a...
That's what it's entitled.
That is what it's entitled. It's the form that VA uses to make sure that...
Isn't that what TDIU is? It's not a claim under per Rice. It's a rating, it's a rating issue. So, you know, this is an application for a higher rating.
No, in this case, TDIU is a theory of entitlement to 100% rating based on.
What's your textual support for that? It's a theory.
The textual support comes.
That's a statute of regulation.
4.16, as the court. Explained in Rice, 4.16, just like 4.71A, has different rate is a ratings regulation, and that's one way to get up to 100.
Right.
Just like you could get up to 100 based on 4.71A, it's just right. A theory.
So what's your you seem to be arguing that TDIU can be globally raised and. What's your textual support and statute for a kind of a global TDIU? If we raise it here, it's also raised in other claim streams.
I'm not sure that I understand your question completely, so let me try to walk it through. By global, do you mean you? What's my support?
Well, your point that generally the board would then go and look at the historical record and award an effective date. That's your kind of global argument, that generally they do that when a TDIU application is submitted.
Well, under 7104A, the board is required to review all evidence of record. In this case, in particular, the 8940 was in the record before the board. But even assuming that wasn't true, we have lots of evidence raising entitlement to TDIU and explicit arguments about the way that the skin disability itself impaired the veteran's unemployability before the board. And so if I'm understanding your question, once TDIU got to the board and the board was adjudicating TDIU, it had to look at the whole record before it to determine what's the proper effective date. Where they went wrong here was finding that the date of the claim was April 2021 because of the 8940. It wasn't. The date of the claim for TDIU purposes is as early as 2002 when the veteran submitted the claim, the initial claim for service connection for the skin disability. That's the way it's always been under Rice, and nothing in AMA has changed that. Uh, all that matters for purposes of effective date is that entitlement to TDIU was raised and adjudicated in this case while the initial reading issue was pending anywhere in the system. It's true that in this case, unlike some of the others that we've talked about in Legacy, the issue of TDIU got to the board before the rating did, but that doesn't change the effective date analysis. The date of the claim is still tied to the underlying pending claim, and there's no question under the regulations that the initial skin claim was pending when TDIU came in, or TDIU was raised and adjudicated. Under 3.160, a pending claim is one that's not been finally adjudicated, and certainly the initial skin rating had not been finally adjudicated when the RO issued the decision denying TDIU as moot.
Have you appealed? You filed a couple of SOLZ notices at the end of December. Has the appellant appealed anything from those yet?
We plan to. Our priority here is getting Mr. Phillips his benefits as soon as possible. There is an analysis that goes into it. We will certainly let the court know as soon as that NOD has come in, or whatever the next step is, we will file a SOLZ notice.
Ms. Odom, I'm interested in this supplemental versus initial claim issue. So talk to me about that a little bit. Is it your position that a TDIU form could be either, depending on the situation, or what's your take on all of that?
Well, I would say first that we don't think that issue is, we think that issue is moot now because he has the 2009 effective date, which is tied to the effective date for service connection for PTSD. So there's no earlier date of TDIU that the veteran would get based on that theory. But yes, it was our position that the 8940 in this case was a supplemental claim because it was filed within a year of the decision on the PTSD rating. And it's true that had it not been filed within a year, it would also have been a supplemental claim, just have been filed after a year, so it wouldn't protect the effective date.
And so the mention of increase in the initial claim regulation?
We think that regulation is inconsistent with the statute, the plain language of the statute, which defines a supplemental claim as a claim for the same, for a benefit based on the same or similar factual basis. So if a veteran is already service-connected for a disability and later requests TDIU based on that disability, it's on the same or similar basis. And therefore, it fits the statutory definition of a supplemental claim. And since there was no gap for VA to fill, they're bound by the statute and the regulation that would that VA would rely on to say that it was actually an increased rating and the effective dates are not tied to the initial claim that was pending when the 8940 came in is invalid. And in this case, I think it's important to point out, too, that the 8940 did not even qualify or meet the regulatory definition of an increased rating claim. Under 3.1, an increased rating claim is a claim for an increase in disability evaluation based on a change or worsening in condition or circumstance since the last decision issued by the VA. The 8940 here says that hadn't been working since 1978. There's evidence prior that shows that the skin condition in particular interfered with his unemployability even when he was working prior to 1978. There were no changed circumstances between the last HLR or rating decision in this case, on the skin, and the submission of the 8940. So it could not have been considered an increased rating claim, even under 3.1.
But I just want to make sure I've got this right. As far as you're concerned, and it seems like the Secretary would agree, the PTSD theory of an earlier effective date is one that no longer really is on the table because we couldn't give anything that would be more than what your client has already gotten.
Right. I just don't see the court or the board being able to grant any further relief based on that theory since he's already got the 2009 TDIU date. as a result from the HLR decision that construed this is where it gets complicated, construed the second skin claim to include TDIU under Rice, even though it was adjudicated in AMA.
Can you say that last thing again? I followed you right up until that point, and it's me, not you. Definitely.
Well, this procedural history is quite a beast. But what has happened is that the veteran filed a claim for service connection for a skin disability in 2002. He called it chloracne. And as VA is required to do, it correctly construed that claim to include other diagnoses as well. The board granted service connection for specific diagnoses, and then later the regional office also started adjudicating service connection for other diagnoses, and somehow those two claims went off on different paths and have now been reunited. And in the HLR decision that granted a 60% rating for all skin conditions, all the way back to 2002, the HLR agreed that TDIU was reasonably raised as part of that skin claim and adjudicated TDIU, but denied it prior to 2009.
Got it.
So following one final point I have, unless there are further questions, is to think about what are the repercussions of the secretary's position here. As I understand it, the secretary's position is that even though the skin condition, the initial skin condition claim was pending at the time that the veteran submitted in 8940 and the RO initially adjudicated in 8940, what has changed now is that in AMA, you have to request separate review options. You can submit separate claims for the same benefit at different times as long as VA considers it an increased rating claim, and that VA has to then adjudicate those separate claims separately, or those increased rating claims separately, and then the veteran has to request a separate review option separately for each of those separate adjudications. So what that means is that the veteran can go to the regional office and submit an 8940 every week. And every week, the regional office has to adjudicate that 8940 separately, issue a separate decision, and then the claimant has to request a review option separately. That is antithetical to the purpose of the AMA, which was to create an efficient and expedient process for veterans who have been waiting a very long time in appeals waiting for their decisions. So the position is not only contrary to well-settled bedrock principles of VA claims adjudications, their own regulations, it's also contrary to the purpose of the AMA, and the court should reject the argument accordingly. If there are no other questions, we would ask the court to vacate the board's decision, finding that the date of the claim was April 2021, so that TDIU could not be granted prior to April 2020. Remand the matter for the board to adjudicate entitlement to TDIU based on the 2002 effective date of claim.
Thank you, Ms. Ong. Mr. Morris?
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Your Honors, the Secretary's position can be summarized in 3 points. First, under the AMA statutes and regulations, Form 218940 can establish a separate claim for increased compensation based on unemployability, even if unemployability is already or is also raised as part of an existing claim. Two, the effective date of the award to unemployability benefits is tied to the date of receipt of the claim that initiated the claims or an appeal stream in which the award is granted. And three, Rice does not, nor should it, prevent a 218940 filed under the AMA from raising a separate claim for increased compensation.
Could you repeat that number three again?
Yes.
From the beginning?
Rice does not, and it should not either, prevent a Form 218940 filed under the AMA from raising a separate claim for initial compensation, nor does it permit a claimant to step outside of the claim stream in which an award is made and reach into a separate claim stream in order to secure an earlier effective date? And any such application of Rice would be inconsistent with the AMA. Now, if I may briefly just clarify one point here, which is that we are not arguing that appellant is not entitled to an effective date tied to the 2002 skin claim. That's not our argument here. Our position here is that he is not entitled to an effective date based on the 2002 skin claim in this claim stream, and that that claim was not on appeal to the board and was not before the board. Your Honor, starting with the...
So can I just get right up front? So the Secretary is not arguing that the AMA abrogated Rice, just sort of took a big eraser to the doctrine in Rice?
We are not challenging the concept of how TDIU can arise as much as we are challenging the part of Rice that spoke to what it necessarily must attach. And so the aspect of Rice that we believe has been superseded and that is no longer consistent with the AMA is the idea that if a Form 218940 is filed during the pursuit of higher initial ratings, it does not make that claim solely a part of that pursuit of increased of higher initial ratings, that it can also raise a separate increased compensation claim. So Rice was very clear as to it provided binary options that when TDIU is raised, it is either a part of that initial claim in the pursuit of the initial higher ratings, or it's a part of an increased rating claim, but only if the initial rating determination is final and there's a worsening of the underlying condition. And we no longer believe that that binary option scheme fits within the AMA. And again, the second point to that has to do with the claim streams. But on that point of Rice, the AMA, or in the Secretary's regulations in particular, do permit a claimant to raise an increased rating claim while the initial rating determinations of an underlying disability are being pursued. And that stems from two places, Your Honors, the first being 3.1P, which counsel cited, which recognizes as much, provides that a claim, it recognizes an increased compensation claim as a claim for increase based on a change or worsening in condition or circumstances since the last decision issued by VA for the benefit, not since the last final decision, meaning that one can experience an increase but also be pursuing the initial disability ratings.
And it is the Secretary's position that a claim for increase cannot be a supplemental claim.
We agree.
A TDIU, I'm sorry, I meant to say TDIU, or claim for increase / TDIU cannot be supplemental.
We agree with the appellant that that issue is moot in this case. I would defer to the Secretary's position in the Jackson case, which I believe is also pending oral argument in front of this court, which does raise that issue. In this case, though, It was none of those things. And as the Secretary had noted, one, the issue is moot because it was raised in the context of the PTSD and the appellant has unemployability based on that effective date. Two, in this particular case, as the Secretary mentioned in his pleadings, the appellant made it very clear to the board and to this court that the appellant did not pursue the initial ratings for the PTSD. So at minimum, the appellant here did not intend it in any way to be anything other than what was filed. But beyond that, as to the substance, which we don't believe is raised here in this case, I defer to the Secretary's position in Jackson. As to whether, you know, that initial question as to whether the Form 218940 can raise an increased compensation claim during the pendency of the pursuit of higher initial ratings, again, 3.1P, the definition of claim, is very instructive on that point because it recognizes it.
The Secretary's position is that the pendency of the skin disability rating claim from 2002, you don't take any issue that Rice could implicate TDIU being part of that claim, right?
We believe that there, yeah, correct, Your Honor. We believe that there are, you know, that a number of principles and ideas that were expressed in Rice, they continue to survive.
Okay. So that. And second, you are saying here that the filing of the form requesting TDIU in 2021 created under the AMA a separate claim stream that, and this is my words, not yours, but I just want to make sure I understand the logic of this, is that basically what you're saying is that gets to the board. The board in that claim stream can grant TDIU, but is limited to the effective date it can assign to 1 year before. And in another step, the RO might grant or not TDIU as part of the skin claim, and that can come to the board separately, which would then lead to essentially an effective date earlier.
That is correct. What happened in this case was that an additional claim stream was developed based on the filing of this form. And I believe it's been our position since the beginning that none of this implicates what the appellant can or cannot or could or could not have done in the context of the pursuit of higher initial ratings for either the skin conditions claim or previously the post-traumatic stress disorder claim. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but under your argument, an adverse decision in this 2022 or 2021 application for TDIU, an adverse decision denied, would have no preclusive effect on the other.
Your Honor, I believe that
claim stream and pursuit of TDIU in that claim stream.
It would have no different preclusive effect than had this resulted from, assume that the appellant never filed the 21-8940 and just had independent PTSD, you know, increased initial ratings and skin conditions initial ratings. And the appellant argued TDIU with respect in both of those claim streams. It would have no more preclusive effect than if the PTSD got up and was adjudicated and then adjudicated by the board while the other skin condition claim pended different review. The fact that this is was based on the filing of that form doesn't change the outcome of preclusive effect. What's again relevant here is that none of VA or the board's actions impeded the appellant's rights with respect to his other claims. The appellant had the ability to pursue those claims. And in fact, now the skin condition claim is back open. It's not clear to the secretary why the appellant didn't pursue the higher level review decision originally issued on the skin conditions claim. But nevertheless, that claim is reopened. And as noted, TDIU appears to be a part of that claim that the appellant is pursuing. In this particular case, the RO, the 21-8940 was construed to, at a minimum, also raise an increased compensation claim. That was adjudicated, and that was what was on appeal to the board. And mind you, it's significant here that the appellants, when this happened, the appellants had already requested higher-level review in the context of the skin condition claim. So the idea that this could have been some filing with legal significance in terms of how the adjudicatory process in that claim proceeded, that has no merit. The appellant asked for higher level review and got that higher level review. At the same time, a new claim stream was developed. That claim stream was adjudicated, and the appellant was granted TDIU before any of the other claim streams reached the board. And again, Your Honor, it's the Secretary's position here that Rice doesn't change any of that. Rice doesn't compel the filing of that form to have no additional legal significance. Rice doesn't compel the idea that 21-8940 couldn't be a separate claim for increased compensation based on unemployability. And again, that's the regulatory definition, but also nor should Rice be applied that way. And the reason for that being primarily the difference in the nature of the evidentiary record from the time that Rice was decided and now. The evidentiary record closes at the initial adjudication. If a veteran files a 21-8940 while pursuing higher initial ratings and that record is closed, that form has no evidentiary value. It can't. And Rice cannot circumvent the bounds established by the AMA as to the nature of the evidentiary record and what can and cannot be included. So it makes sense in certain circumstances to accept that also as providing new evidence in the context of a new and separate claim. Again, it doesn't prevent the argument from being, you know, from being raised in the context of a separate claim, nor does it prevent the appellant from arguing that the evidentiary record in that closed record contains enough to grant IU. But it doesn't make any sense to force, to when a veteran files at 218940, to say dispositively the only place that this can go is to an existing claim, especially given the nature of the evidentiary record, and similarly the limitations on the duty to assist. Because again, a veteran files this, record is closed, the duty to assist is over, the veteran gets no help if this form only goes to that prior existing claim. And as to the second point, Rice does not allow reaching out of one claim stream and into another, because here what we have is that claim stream that the AOJ initiated, and that was sent on appeal to the board. Rice does not permit reaching out of that claim stream and into another one. And why doesn't Rice do that? For two reasons. One, Rice itself only involved one claim stream, right? The veteran had filed evidence within a year of the original decision, and under the new material regulations, which don't apply anymore, it was one single claim stream. Here we have multiple claim streams, and 5110 is very clear as to how you go back to the effective date. You start from the award and you work your way backwards through the backwards continuous pursuit. And here, everything started with that initial AOJ decision, the April 2021 decision, I believe it was, and that was premised on the claim that arose from the 8940.
I will admit to being confused, because it appeared to me that in your various pleadings, you were arguing a complete abrogation of Rice. And now you're saying you're not doing that. Can you explain that,
Your Honor,
a little more?
As I read and understand Rice, the holding in Rice had to do with where to use it, not so much how it's raised, because how it's raised, the court appeared to rely on other case law at the time. We're not at this time certainly challenging that other case law. We are not challenging the idea of how one can raise it, whether it can be raised by the evidentiary record, because I believe in Rice had cited the Federal Circuit for that proposition in part. So Rice itself stands for that proposition that when evidence of TDIU is submitted, if there is an ongoing pursuit of the initial ratings, if that initial rating determination has not been filed, then it must be a part of that initial claim. And therefore not raising a separate increased rating claim, which again made sense at the time. Under the legacy system, that does make complete sense, because there's really no difference. The outcome, you have one linear progression where everything can kind of feed into, and the outcome would simply be staged ratings. That's not the case under the AMA, which again allows for increased rating claims to be filed while initial ratings are being pursued. And again, it makes very much sense based on the closed record. 5 years ago, a veteran was in condition X, and they believe that at that time they should have had a higher initial rating. But meanwhile, circumstances have changed, and the veteran believes that they're entitled to an increase in that rating. These are separate.
And so tell me, post-AMA, what does Rice stand for in your view? What survives?
We are not challenging the idea of TDIU being essentially a theory of entitlement. I think that there are problems with that, but we also don't believe
you're
that.
Not challenging.
We're not challenging that idea, because it's not
TDIU is
a theory of entitlement. Right, and that has
okay. Right. But that's pretty basic. I mean, I don't.
Yes, but I'm not sure what else there is. That is one of those ideas. One of the ideas that Rice noted was the idea that TDIU is not its own entitlement. And Rice drew that, I believe, from prior case law. Rice recognized that TDIU was a pursuit of a higher, essentially a higher rating. I think those ideas, at least currently, VA has not challenged those, and this case illustrates that VA's practice is still to regard TDIU as part of the pursuit of initial ratings. Hence, the adjudications in the appellant's skin condition claim by the higher level reviewer. So those are not in dispute, but I don't believe that one can read Rice for any proposition. I think that the primary proposition in Rice is that binary options is where does TDIU go when it is raised during the pursuit of higher initial ratings. And in that...
When you mean when it's raised, you mean when it's raised by something other than the filing of the increased... seeking increased rating here for skin. You're focused on the filing of the form.
Right, which was also at issue in Rice, because the idea that in Rice you could have submitted evidence, you know, throughout the entire process until the final board decision. Here you can't. Here the veteran filed that.
Well, you could in the context of the increased skin rating claim. Really, I'm trying to make this simple. What you were saying, it seems to me, is your position, and you keep qualifying it right now, and that's fair enough, is Rice continues to exist in the sense that the seeking an increased rating for a condition can include getting up to 100 by means of TDIU. You don't need to do anything else, right?
A veteran seeking TDIU can, yes, the record currently, as evidenced here, the record may raise unemployability as a means of achieving that based on the disability. The veteran may expressly argue it. And there are circumstances where the filing of that form itself might constitute an argument with, you know, in relation to other pending and existing claims. Our only point in this case is that form filed is not prohibited from raising a new claim for increased compensation, and Rice does not prevent that. And the fact that the veteran was pursuing the higher level, pursuing the skin conditions claim, also doesn't change that. Rice would be the only obstacle. The application of Rice in this context, which again, if Rice was applied here, it would have applied to mean that the filing of that form had no effect other than to raise an argument in the context of the skin condition claim. That form itself, which is predominantly evidence in support of TDIU, couldn't have been considered by that higher level reviewer. Meaning that the appellant, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that we would be here under an entirely different argument if VA did what the appellant is suggesting VA should have done. Either ignored the fact that the appellant had submitted a higher level review request and processed this separately and taken it up to the board, then the appellant would have been denied the higher level review that the appellant requested, or forced this solely into the skin conditions claim, in which case the evidence that was, you know, that is contained on the form would not have been considered unless the appellant was forced into choosing a different review action, but the appellant had already selected higher level review. And again, under these facts, the appellant didn't even appeal that higher level of review decision. So the secretary, and the reason that I'm qualifying my positions here, Your Honor, is because I do want to make it clear that I think what we're arguing here is pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. The basic premise that under the AMA statutes and regulations, this form, the filing of the form, can raise a new claim for increased compensation based on employability, and that when it does, the effective date is tied to the start of that claim stream. If we are here at some point on subsequent appeals of the appellant's skin condition claim, the appellant still doesn't have TDIU back to 2002, in that context, there would be jurisdiction to go back and to consider that, right? Because that claim was continuously pursued, or assuming that that claim is continuously pursued since 2002, TDIU is theoretically available back to that date.
Back to that date, or 1 year prior.
If it's part of the original claim for the skin condition, which I guess was a reopening claim, it would only go back to the date of that claim because it wouldn't be an increased rating claim anymore. But again, that is being separately pursued, and the AMA again is very clear as to the independent lanes, the independent claims and appeals streams. The only one that was in front of the board here stemmed from that AOJ decision that that addressed and adjudicated the increased compensation claims for unemployability, the skin condition, and PTSD, and I think DEA benefits as well in that decision. That was the initial decision. That, or aspects of that, were appealed to the board. That was what the board granted on, and we can only trace that back to that prior AOJ decision and the claim on which it was based.
And so the requirement of a claim form came into being in 2015. So why are you talking about this as though it's post AMA, pre AMA? Wasn't this an issue back in like 2016? Or
it is. It's not the fact that the veteran in this case wasn't required to file a form. The secretary is not resting his position on the form requirements. There is a form requirement, which does at least change the legal landscape on which Rice was based, but it's not the dispositive factor here. What's dispositive in this case is that aspect of Rice that compels, you know, when that form is filed, that TDIU is only raised as part of the pursuit of the initial disability ratings if they haven't become final. That part is superseded by the regulation and by the evisceration of the entire landscape on which Rice was based in the sense of the evidentiary record. Rice itself could not be decided the same way today. The regulations that the court relied on at the time, the new material evidence regulations, don't exist, and the evidentiary record would have been concluded prior to the initiation of the appeal in that case. So this is fully consistent with that, and the idea that under the legacy system, you probably wouldn't have two claims. You could have multiple claim streams, but you wouldn't, and especially in the case of Rice, where you would have one, and again, the end result would have just been stage ratings if there was an increase at some point during the pendency of the appeals process, because the evidentiary record remained open, the duty to assist remained open, and there was no reason, no benefit to the veteran. And I think the court in Rice even recognized that it would have been disadvantageous to the veteran, if construed as a separate claim there. Here, it's not the case. In fact, there are many advantages that are provided by creating an additional claim stream if appropriate, which is, again, the ability to submit evidence and not require the veteran to opt out, withdraw from, or wait to choose another specific review action on the existing claim that allows the submission of evidence. So we do believe that this is fully consistent with the current legal landscape and the AMA in particular, Your Honors. Absent further questions, Your Honor, I would just conclude by saying that, again, you know, this claim is fundamentally about claim streams. And when a claim is granted, we're looking for the earliest effective date, potential effective date. We just follow the claim stream backward to where it started here. It started with the January 2022 AOJ decision on the April 2021 claim for increased compensation based on unemployability, which stemmed from the appellant's form 218940. Price doesn't change. Whether unemployability also existed in the context of any other pending claims is irrelevant, as it doesn't change the starting point of this claim stream. To the extent that the board awarded TDIU based on the date of receipt of the 218940, its decision should be affirmed. Thank you, Your Honor.
Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Morris. Ms. Odom?
Thank you, Chief Judge Bartley. I recently had the privilege of attending the Bar and Bench Conference in Baltimore, and Judges Allen and Chief Judge Bartley, your honors had both commented on how complicated some of the AMA rules have made the system. Boy, this position is making that 10 times more complicated. Once you submit an 8940, there's a brand new claim stream. You have to take different review options, and the old rules about effective date don't apply. From what I understand, there are two new AMA rules that the secretary relies on. 3.1P, VA's own regulatory definition of a claim. As we discussed in the opening, the 8940 here doesn't even meet that definition because it doesn't talk about any change in disability since the last decision. And then the second rule that I understand the Secretary to be relying on is the closed record rules. But that doesn't matter here. The 8940, as the Secretary admitted, could be an argument. That's what it is here. There was no more evidentiary value of the 8940 than what was already in the record, even prior to the pass the opt-in into AMA. Prior to the opt-in into AMA, TDIU had been raised as part of the reasonably raised in our position as part of the skin disability. What the Secretary is suggesting now is that now that we have closed record rules, for some reason in this case, the 8940 couldn't have been considered as part of the initial skin claim. And I didn't quite understand why not, especially since here there was no additional evidentiary value. But, you know, as we discussed, it's also not an increased rating claim because it doesn't meet the definition of an increased rating. It's just a form that VA requires under the M21 that you submit if you want TDIU. And we did that. Mr. Phillips and his counsel did that here. That does not affect the effective date rules. It doesn't mean that VA can now depart from years of case law and say, well, now we can create a new claim stream and you have new obligations based on that claim stream. And in fact, if we go back to those cases in Legacy, Bryce, Harbor, Mayhew, et cetera, what the Secretary is suggesting here is that, you know, in those cases, if the veteran had appealed the TDIU decision alone and appealed the effective date, that would have been the wrong claim or the wrong appeal because they had to appeal the IR claim. There's not that it doesn't make any sense. Those cases wouldn't have said if they came up on the TDIU effective date decision that the veteran appealed the wrong decision. But that's what the Secretary is saying here based on rules that don't even affect what happened here. So for those reasons, we'd ask the court to reject the Secretary's position and vacate and remand the board's decision. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. O. And thank you, counsel, for your arguments. The case is submitted for consideration, and the court is adjourned, and we will come down and greet counsel.